And the gospel lesson, the good news for this LWML Sunday, comes from the gospel according to St. Luke, the 7th chapter, beginning in the 18th verse. After we come and see, we go and tell. The disciples of John reported all these things to him. And John, calling two of his disciples to him, sent them to the Lord, saying, "Are you the one who is to come, or shall we look for another?" And when the men had come to him, they said, "John the Baptist has sent us to you, saying, 'Are you the one who is to come, or shall we look for another?'" In that hour, Jesus healed many people of diseases and plagues and evil spirits, and on many who were blind he bestowed sight. And he answered them, "Go and tell John what you have seen and heard. The blind receive their sight, the lame walk, lepers are cleansed, and the deaf hear, and the dead are raised up. The poor have good news preached to them, and blessed is the one who is not offended by me." When John's messengers had gone, Jesus began to speak to the crowds concerning John. "What did you go out into the wilderness to see? A reed shaken by the wind? What then did you go out to see? A man dressed in soft clothing? Behold, those who are dressed in splendid clothing and live in luxury are in king's courts. What then did you go out to see? A prophet? Yes, I tell you, and more than a prophet. This is he of whom it is written, 'Behold, I send my messenger before your face, who will prepare your way before you.' I tell you, among those born of women, none is greater than John, yet the one who is least in the kingdom of God is greater than he. Teach me your way, O Lord, that I may walk in your truth. Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. Unite my heart to fear your name, that I may walk in your truth. Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit. Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path." We now share in going through, in place of the Confession of Faith, a portion of Dr. Martin Luther's Small Catechism, portions of the Lord's Prayer, the third, fourth, and fifth petitions. What is the third petition of the Lord's Prayer? "Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven." What does this mean? The good and gracious will of God is done even without our prayer. But we pray in this petition that it may be done among us also. How is God's will done? God's will is done when he breaks and hinders every evil plan and purpose of the devil, the world, and our sinful nature, which do not want us to hallow God's name or let his kingdom come. And when he strengthens and keeps us firm in his word and faith until we die, this is his good and gracious will. What is the fourth petition? "Give us this day our daily bread." What does this mean? God certainly gives daily bread to everyone without our prayers, even to all evil people. But we pray in this petition that God would lead us to realize this and to receive our daily bread with thanksgiving. What is meant by daily bread? Daily bread includes everything that has to do with the support and needs of the body, such as food, drink, clothing, shoes, house, home, land, animals, money, goods, a devout husband or wife, devout children, devout workers, devout and faithful rulers, good government, good weather, peace, health, self-control, good reputation, good friends, faithful neighbors, and the like. What is the fifth petition? "And forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us." What does this mean? We pray in this petition that our Father in heaven would not look at our sins or deny our prayer because of them. We are neither worthy of those things for which we pray, nor have we deserved them. But we ask that he would give them all to us by grace, for we daily sin much and surely deserve nothing but punishment. So we too will sincerely forgive and gladly do good to those who sin against us. Friends, as we serve the Lord with gladness, Let's remember again the words from our Old Testament lesson, both at the beginning and at the end. Come and see what God has done. He is awesome in his deeds toward the children of man. Blessed be God, because he has not rejected my prayer or removed his steadfast love from me. Fellow Christians, for those of you that still drive, it would surprise me if you haven't been in one of these at least a couple of times where all of a sudden traffic for, at least in your world, no really good reason, suddenly comes to a stop and you can see that the backup is long. But you have no choice. This is the route you have to take, and whatever's ahead of you, you're just going to have to wait for it. And then as you get closer, you can see that the red lights and stuff in the distance, and you got a pretty good idea it's an accident. Then you come upon the accident only to find out that the accident is on the other side of the road. It didn't even affect you or your direction of traffic. Then what's the holdup all about? Well, people are slowing down so that they're driving like this, you know, watching it really closely. Then once they get a good look, off they go. Because and then you always see that right after the accident scene, the road in front of you is so clear. It's like the cars all disappeared after they got to the accident scene. We have this curiosity, and I actually try to fight it when I drive. I make sure that my eyes are watching, because there's so many accidents happen behind just from people that aren't paying attention. So, I mean, let's straight ahead, and if my wife's in the car with me, I said, well, dear, you're going to have to be the one that's going to have to size up the situation if you think it needs to be done. But whether it's a fender bender or something else like that, people are inclined to take a good look and see what has happened. Now, unfortunately, sometimes those accidents we find out later were quite bad. Even worse than we could have imagined. You may have gone by a fatality or two. And then you only hear about it on the news. But at some point, you are inclined to tell people about this awful thing that you saw. And just what it is that your eyes were able to see in terms of what took place. Friends, it's amazing that we have a much greater willingness to pass on things of a tragic nature than things of a, shall we say, a good nature. Now, in some ways, that maybe shouldn't be surprising. People who have been through trauma, if it's bad enough, they go through a period of time they can't tell anyone about it. They don't utter a word about it. You hear about that with some of the war soldiers and so forth. But for others, or even at some point for some of those soldiers, when that time comes, they need an outlet. And even if years and years have gone by, they need somebody. They need somebody to listen to them so that they can tell their story. It's almost like it has got to get out. Not so that somehow or another they kind of take the stage, even though, you know, I find myself utterly captivated by some of the stories, that some of the most horrible, awful, hard to even imagine type stories that these people have had to live through. And yet, how much more willing or less are we to tell genuine good news? Okay? Birth of a first grandchild, maybe, but are we really excited about telling good news? When we see something really good that has happened. You know, years and years ago, some of the fields that were used for some of the sports like baseball and so forth, even if they were major league teams, they were not these gigantic, just humongous things that you see today. They would be fields that maybe, you know, from three sides, they had plenty going on. But if you happened to be one of these individuals, there were still sidewalks that went past the stadium. You could actually see the things that were going on. And see, you know, some of the momentous events that would happen from yesteryear would be things that sometimes people could see just by either watching from the outside or just walking by at just the right time. So what about you? Are you as excited and willing to share good news? Because the Lord has some really good news for you. And in the midst of that, He wants us to do more than tell people about it. He wants us to go into His service, to share that joy with the love that comes from us and from Him. We spend a few moments on that in a message I call Reprise and the Lord's Service. The word reprise, it's like, now wait a minute, what's the reprise thing all about? I want you to think for a minute where you have seen that word reprise. And this looks like, for the most part, a reasonably good crowd to ask. The reprise was usually, especially, you might have had a few albums that there was a kind of a theme that was going through it, and there might have been a key central song to whatever was going on. Maybe it was the song track from a movie, and all you were doing was there was a main song that held everything together. It might be the first song on the album, it might be in the middle of the album, but at the end of the album, the last thing that they do is they play a reprise. It's usually a shortened version of the main song, and if there's a narrative that's in the song, that narrative is taken out. You are asked to, as you leave that story, that album, that thought, they want you to go away with the melody of that song ringing through your head. Actually, it was a pretty good thing to do. But as we go forth and we have seen what God has done for us, do we, shall we say, reprise it in a most special way? You know, somehow or another, sin has a way of not just a shorter reprise, but an enhanced version of it. That although it sometimes, you know, we do things that we've done once in our life, we want to kick ourselves for having done it, and we pray that we would never do it again. But there are sins that are part of our lives that cling to us, and these are not reprises. These are things that get just bigger and anything but better as they go along. But in the service of our Lord, as we see the things, now if we see what the Lord has done for us, we don't reprise it in trying to do what He did. We do it in terms of a proper response to how it is that the Lord has blessed us. You look at all the blessings that He has given to us across a huge spectrum. And in a fourth petition that we read just a little bit earlier, some of that was summarized. And that is just a little bit. And even once it got past all the things about food and clothing and stuff like that, you remember some of the things that were on there? Good government, good weather, peace, health, self-control, good friends. All of these are blessings. But if God has given us these things, do we reprise them? We may have good friends, but are we good friends with other people? And maybe good friends with someone who needs a friend. Good friends with somebody who doesn't have many friends, if any, but they need someone. And you are more than privileged to be that someone. As we look at the work of the Lutheran Women's Missionary League, it's been around for quite a while now, and even some of these things that were written for the Lutheran Women's Missionary League, it goes back decades, and yet there's a timeless quality to it. Being able to understand the needs that are out in the world, and very often amongst our guilds, our societies and organizations that are part of Lutheran Women in Mission, whatever it is God has blessed them with, God has blessed them with eyes that can see the needs that are out there. And even as they throw together their little pennies and nickels and dimes and whatever else that they keep oftentimes in a jar at home, and those jars are all put together, it allows for things that, you know, where at some times there is no substitute for real dollars to be able to build buildings, provide clean water, provide a proper education, get people so that they become a part of our language and culture. The list goes on and on of the things that they have supported through the years with their hands and with their hearts and with every part of them, as we will reprise that at the end of the service with a pledge of the LWML in which they pledge everything they have to God, so also should we. Now that doesn't make it easy. All of the things that we're asked to reprise are also going to take time, energy, resources, and a willing heart that is open to be able to do these things. And sometimes we just either, we don't think we have it, or we really are a little hesitant to do it. Even in this morning's gospel lesson, John's disciples had to go to John, who was now in prison, and by the way, would now stay in prison until his death. The ministry of John the Baptist was essentially over in this morning's gospel lesson. But the disciples were still going to be there, and John was worried about them. And as the reports about Jesus keep coming in, John finally remembered that it was he himself that pointed at Jesus and said, "Look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world." But his disciples aren't so sure. So he sends them, and he sends them with a question that supposedly is from him. He does it for two reasons. Number one, in the midst of crowds, it would be far easier for the disciples to say, "John the Baptist has a question for you," because everyone would know him, and they would probably, "Oh, well, John the Baptist has a question, but by all means, we'll stand off to the side. You go ahead and ask it." More than, "Well, we have a question for you." But John was not asking it on his own behalf. John needed the people to be able to reprise what they had heard. And so Jesus plays right into that. Since the question was asked by John, Jesus says to them, "Well, why don't you go back and tell John the things that you have heard and seen?" What he didn't say is what he really meant. "And on your way, ponder just what it is that you did hear and see, because the good news about a Savior is in the midst of it." And that's what he did. He went back and reported. They go back, they report, "Here's what is taking place." Well, I don't know that all the miraculous things that Jesus did in the Gospels are being done in our lives, at least not in the same way. Miracles are happening every day. Make no mistake about it. Miracles that we may look back 25 years later and not understand just what happened that God did in your life. But what he asks us to do with the goodness that he shares with us, the forgiveness of sins, the graciousness of life, the humility that he shows, he wants us to reprise that in the Lord's service. We cannot ever be, even if we're asked to be Christ with our hands, our feet, our voice, and whatever else, we can't do that. But we can reprise what he has done for us. A version in which, okay, as much as is possible for us, leaving out the things that belong to the Lord and that we know we cannot do, but still focused on what it is that God has done for us. Our epistle lesson in its final words had these words: "With the Holy Spirit who dwells within us, guard the good deposit entrusted to you." A deposit is something, friends, that's kept somewhere safe. Somewhere away from immediate access, but something in which it is always there and constantly growing. That's what we have. And that's what we are asked to reprise. And that is what we are asked to give our lives for, because as we come and see what the Lord has done, we go and we tell. We reprise in the Lord's service, in the Lord's love, and with our voice, our hands, our feet, and with our very selves, we give back to God's people what God has given to us. Amen. And now may the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, keep your hearts and minds forever. Through faith in Jesus Christ, amen. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
We bow our heads. O God, our refuge and strength, the author of all godliness, by your grace hear the prayers of your church. Grant that those things which we ask in faith, we may receive through your bountiful mercy, through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Lord God, in the midst of all of the blessings of life, the greatest blessing remains your word. Send forth that word into our world today. Equip our people to be active witnesses to your gospel throughout the length and breadth of every land. We are willing to serve the Lord with gladness. Sow that word into the hearts and minds of people, that blindness may be changed into sight, and that our lips and our lives may be filled with your praise that we will reprise again and again and again. Let that word shine in our homes, in our workplaces, in everywhere that we go, that we and all people that we come in contact with may experience the true joy of the gospel, both in this life and in the life to come, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Lord, especially as we enter into the month of October, we pray for our country. We pray that you would give us leaders in all walks of life who respect your commandments, who promote what is good, who oppose what is evil, who promote harmony amongst our citizens, who help to bring forth peace and uprightness, and who show concern for the good of all. Bless our lives also, that we never take for granted the freedoms that have been given to us, including the freedom to come and worship you. May we always come forth in joy, but also in peace, love, true wisdom in the freedom that is ours through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Lord Jesus, the healer of all the sick, hear the prayers of the suffering, the bereaved, the needy, the homeless, the wounded, the worried, the despairing. Lead them in mercy out of all that distresses them. Oh Lord, we now take a moment to pray for someone in our own life that is in need of the special blessings that you provide, that we name before you in a moment of silence. We pray on behalf of Evelyn Waters, who's been hospitalized at North Bay. Deliver us, O God, from every trouble of body and soul, and one day prepare us for that special table which we will be able to sit at with you in that eternal kingdom. But until then, bless us also with your holy word and the sacrament which we come forth this morning to receive in your Son's body and blood. May our lives truly be refreshed as we face the world with a faith that has been given to us, and now with the blessings that our Son gives us with his very self, through Jesus Christ our Lord. The words of our Lord. Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same way also, he took the cup after supper. When he had given thanks, he gave it to his disciples, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is my blood of the New Testament, shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." And now may the peace of the Lord be with you always.